have been looking in succession at the series entitled, Are You Building Your Ark? The motivation behind this is the fact that when you think about it, Noah's Ark was the only means for salvation, the only means for safety at the time of the flood. And so we are looking at the four aspects of you building your ark, the only bit of safety that we have in these last days. First of all, the components need to be the spiritual foundation of your ark needs to be number one. Number two, the physical body of your ark. And after we started the series, I realized there's two aspects to the body of the ark. The presence, where it is located, and practice, what are you doing with the body? And the third thing we looked at was the mental state. That was last week. What is the mental state of your ark? And today we're going to look at the social practice of your ark. Now we discovered the spiritual foundation of your ark you must have. Absolutely essential. A personal, intimate, and daily relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just to know that He died, but to know that He died for you personally. Number two, we discovered in the physical aspect of your ark, the presence, where it's located, we took a look at Lot and discovered what happened to Lot when he moved his tents towards Sodom. And here's a quote that we looked at from Patriarchs and Prophets. There was a coming out, a decided separation from the wicked, an escape for life. So it was in the days of Noah, so it was with Lot, and so with the disciples prior to the destruction of Jerusalem. And now finally, so will it be in what? The last days. That's you and I. Again, the voice of God is heard in the message of warning, bidding His people separate themselves from the prevailing iniquity. And then we looked at the practice of the body. We looked at John the Baptist. And there we discovered this. The world is given to self-indulgence. Errors and fables abound. Satan's snares are destroying souls, are multiplied. All who would perfect holiness in the fear of God must learn the lesson of temperance and self-control. The appetites and passions must be held in subject to the higher power of the mind. For this reason, temperance finds its place in the work of the preparation for God's second coming, Christ's second coming. Amen? In fact, let me tell you, this is one of the areas in which Adventism contributes to Christianity unlike any other church, almost. Our understanding of the importance of temperance and self-control. Number three, we looked at the mental state of the ark, and we discovered this. We are now living in the great antitypical day of atonement, the final judgment day of atonement, when we must do three things for sure. We must protect our minds above all else by fasting, praying, and humbling ourselves before God so we won't be deceived. And believe me, the deceptions of these last days are incredible. So we found that your ark, if you're building it, must include an understanding that we are to sacrifice in certain areas, including practice fasting, praying, and humbling ourselves before God, so that we will be above the deceptions. And today, we are going to look at the fourth part, and that has to do with, what is the fourth part? The social practice of the ark. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, I almost feel guilty gliding through the first four sermons with such powerful messages in such a brief way. But we must move on to the topic of hand today. And that is the social practice of building our ark. Father, would you please send the Spirit to be with each and every person, including me, who's here today. For we need your counsel, your wisdom, your correction, your direction, and your preparation for what is on the horizon. And Lord, use me in spite of me to be a blessing. And don't let anyone in this sanctuary leave discouraged, Lord. But instead know that you love them and you have a plan if we would just submit to you. So use me now to be a blessing in your behalf, and let us hear and see Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. I have a map here of what used to be Yugoslavia before it was partitioned into a number of different countries. And here's a story that took place in Kosovo to a missionary. The missionary had been in jail for more than 2 weeks. He was stuck behind bars in a Kosovo prison because he had tried to tell others about Jesus. Other missionaries tried desperately to negotiate his freedom, but day after day they were turned down. Eventually, they received the good news that their friend would soon be released so that they went to the jail to tell him. And when the missionary discovered that their friend had been witnessing to their fellow inmates, and they were shocked when he told them about his experience in jail and said, "Don't release me yet. Give me another week. I need more time to share the gospel with these people." And so we discover there's a sociability that is required of the last day people. And just so that we understand what we're talking about, in the dictionary, under the noun social, we discover the definition is a special gathering or party, especially of or as given by an organized group, such as a church social. And so, let's take a look at this. I have three questions for you to begin this part, the last part of this series. But first, I want you to read Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. Take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to Genesis 6. Children, get your Bibles out right now. Turn to Genesis 6, and I'm going to read three scriptures here in succession in the early part of the history of this world that'll just astound you as we look at the subject, the sociability of our ark. The social practice of our ark. Do you have Genesis, the sixth chapter? Amen? Boys and girls, you got it? All right, let's go. That sounded like a pretty mature amen for children. Verse number 5, listen to this. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, creepy things and birds of the air. So, for I am sorry that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Now that we've read that, three questions. Number one, how long did it take to build the ark? Let me hear it. 120 years. Okay. Question number two. Where do you get that from the Bible? What'd you say, Ricardo? Well, where does it say he preached for 120 years? You know, there are some commentators that don't believe that. He preached or built for 120 years. Okay, I'll give you the text. The answer is 120 years. What's the discrepancy? And that, by the way, is Genesis 6:3. Look at Genesis 6:3. You should already be in Genesis 6:3. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years." That's where we get 120 years. God gave them after the declaration that every thought of their heart was only evil continually. God gave them 120 years. So question number three, what's the discrepancy here? What do I mean by that? The delay, man. The delay. 120 years? Give me a break. Every thought of their mind was evil continually? 120 years? Well, let's look to Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter and see what 1 Peter has to say about this delay. The discrepancy that we discovered. We discovered that he built the ark for 120 years. That's based on Genesis 6:3. It's because they were so evil and wicked, and yet 120 years. So, you have 1 Peter? 1 Peter 3:20. And you know what? I'll tell you, God gave me this series. I've never preached it before. And when I got this week and looked at this sermon, the thought that I'm going to share with you now, which impacts me more than what I thought I was going to share with you, is just incredible. This whole thing is incredible. This discrepancy is incredible. And it has a message for us. Okay, do you have 1 Peter 3? All right, I'm going to read it. Verse 20, here it is. It says, "Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water." Have you read this scripture before? Have you thought, what in the world is this talking about? Do you see clearly that God waited patiently? What in the world did He wait for? And notice His delay produced a fruit of eight. I would say an undertaking such as Noah was given for 120 years was a great expense of wealth that produced eight souls. But evidently to God, that's all it needs to be. And so, my friends, God waited patiently. God's mercy in 120 years before the flood, the Lord, by the holy angel, declared to Noah his purpose and directed him to build an ark. While building the ark, he was to preach that God would bring a flood of water upon earth to destroy the wicked. Those who would believe the message and would prepare for that event by repentance and reformation should find pardon and be saved. Enoch had repeated to his children what God had showed him in regard to the flood, and Methuselah and his sons who lived to hear the preaching of Noah assisted in the building of the ark. God waited patiently so his one servant Noah could preach for 120 years in the hopes that these people would repent. And if you ever wondered why when Moses said, "Let your glory pass by me," he said, "Okay, I will. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to put my hands over you, and then I'm going to declare my name." And what did he say? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That is the power in the incredible character of our God. A great discrepancy because God is merciful and long-suffering. And while horrible things were happening everywhere, He had one man preaching boldly to the crowd. And gave him 120 years, folks. In fact, let me tell you how merciful God is. Here it is, God's mercy in yellow. Enoch had repeated to his children what God had showed him in regard to the flood. Hold on here. Wait a second. Enoch was nowhere around when the flood happened. He was gone before the 120 years started. Well, look at what Jude 14 says. Let's piece this together. Talk about the mercy of God. The kind of God we're serving, why we will go to the extremes we go, why we will care about what we do to our body, when we do it, where we do it, how we do it, our minds, why we have a spiritual foundation of Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says here in Jude 14. We're piecing together a theological thought that I hope will really just blow your mind. I guess that's the vernacular today. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of His saints." Okay? So, why did we look at that? Because here, Jude, one of the stepbrothers, the youngest stepbrother of Jesus, who became a believer after His death on the cross of Calvary, along with His three other brothers, wrote this letter by His name to believers in which He stated Enoch was a prophet. Didn't I read that? Do I have to read it again? Okay. We're building a theological thought here. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. What does a prophet do? Prophesy. Enoch was a prophet. And Enoch repeated to his children what God had shown him in regard to the flood? All right, are you ready for this, folks? Here we go. Enoch had repeated to his children what God had showed him in regard to the flood. The definition of Methuselah's name is, when he is dead, it shall be sent. Or, his death shall bring judgment. When did Methuselah die? The very year of the flood. Methuselah was the longest living man in recorded history. And by the way, the Bible records all history. It didn't start billions of years ago. And by the way, if you believe that and come to church, you're wasting your time because the Bible makes it very plain that God is the Creator. Six literal 24-hour periods. Enoch named his son Methuselah at God's direction, because his name alerted the people even before Noah began building the ark, that something was going to happen in the year that Methuselah died. What a God we serve. Don't you agree with me that 120 years is pretty extreme when every thought of their mind was continually evil? But not to our God. And by the way, if you're a little bit shook up by the fact that in 1844 started the beginning of the last judgment, I'll tell you, why has time gone so long since then? You got your answer already, don't you? Because back in Noah's day, these were brilliant people. They weren't tainted like you and I. When you go to your museum and see these cave people that are running around going ugh and ooh and hitting each other over the head in clubs, may have existed after the flood occurred, but before the flood occurred, they were brilliant. In fact, Noah building that ark that actually made it through the most greatest natural upheaval of all times without a scratch, by the way, without a wheelhouse or a rudder, tells us clearly that our God is a merciful, loving God. And we must consider, as we build the ark, our sociability, our social practice. What is our social practice? What a God we have. When He is dead, it shall come. Or His death shall bring judgment. And when Methuselah died. By the way, parents, your heartache. Do you see that quote, by the way, from Patriarchs and Prophets? Methuselah and his sons who lived to hear the preaching of Noah assisted in building the ark. Where was his sons when the flood came? I hope we get to heaven and discover they all died prematurely, okay? Because if they didn't, that means after Daddy was gone, they switched sides. That's why we've got to be building our ark, and that's why we have to consider how we're building our ark. Because we certainly can't build it after the standard of men, for that will bring nothing but tragedy. God's mercy. While Noah was giving this warning message to the world, his words testified to his sincerity. I was so touched by this quote from Patriarchs and Prophets that I included it, even though it almost kind of doesn't fit, okay? Here's where we are in society today. I want to challenge each and every one of us here, including myself as Seventh-day Adventist. I want you to listen what this says. Because I never gave it a thought, even though I have read this I don't know how many times. While Noah was giving his warning message to the world, his words testified to his works testified to his sincerity. It was thus that his faith was perfected and made evident. He gave the world an example of believing just what God says. All that he possessed, he invested in the ark. As he began to construct that immense boat on dry ground, by the way, need I tell you there were no lakes nearby? Multitudes came from every direction to see the strange sight and to hear the earnest, fervent words of the singular preacher. Every blow struck upon the ark was a witness to the people. Not your words, only your thoughts only, but our actions. And in the society we're living today, the pressures to cave in to cultural ideas and thinking and eating and entertaining and you name it is enormous. And every time we compromise what we know to be is right, we are not the witness that Noah was. All by himself, 120 years, building the ark. You know, at some point he could have put the hammer down and lifted his fist and say, I know exactly how Jonah is going to feel. Did you get that? Did you make the connection? Because Jonah went to the great heathen state of Nineveh and he preached and they listened to him and they reformed, and so God repented and he got mad because he was a liar. God, you made me look like a liar. I could see Noah. How long do I got to preach to these people who make fun of me every day? 120 years. Why? Because the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. By the way, let me just throw in one thought for you. I've got a couple of them. One thought for you that I thought was really great from Acts 1:8. Ever since I caught this a long time ago, this is one of those things I figured out well in advance. This just astounded me. Jesus said to His disciples just before His ascension, He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in, where? And? And all Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. So, what am I referring to? God's crucifixion on the cross of Calvary, Jesus' death, resurrection, just before He ascended, He said, by the way, I haven't given up on My people in Jerusalem. Preach to them first. And I'm telling you, I would have said, forget Jerusalem. Forget Judea. And move on to Samaria. But not our God. In fact, we now know from prophecy of Daniel, He gave him 3.5 more years. He sent His disciples right there after they had crucified Him. That's what the kind of God we serve. The ark was built for 120 years because God is so merciful. He was not afraid to stretch out the time. God's sociability. Here's one text. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some toward count slackness, but is long-suffering towards who? Us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Has anybody figured out where I'm going with this? You know, in all my sermons, I only have 3 points. And so we looked at very carefully in building your own ark, the spiritual foundation, the physical body, presence and practice, the mental state, and now the social practice. If God goes to this extreme so that the wicked people can be saved, what about our sociability? For just before He left, He said to you and I, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what are you doing to reach other people for Jesus? By the way, I'm glad you're here today. In fact, we've got a 75 to 100 people out of town. And look at who's here. This is beautiful. But I want you to know something from my heart. If you and I are just coming here on Sabbath and doing nothing else, your ark is going to sink. It's not going to make it through the second coming of Jesus Christ. What are you doing to reach other people? The extremity in which our God went to for the salvation of souls shames me. By the way, my wife has in her possession a book I just finished reading, a book by Gerald Wheeler on James White. I finished the book, and I'm going to recommend it to you. I forgot to bring it to hold it up. What him and the pioneers went through in order to preach this gospel shames me. They cared more about strangers than their own welfare. And so our sociability. What are we doing to reach other people for Jesus? You must do something. Well, let me read you a note and then I'll give you a suggestion. Now, I take a chance in reading this to you, but I'm going to read it anyway. On a weekly basis, I meet with a special group of girls, and they wrote me a number of thank you notes, and this one in particular I wanted to read to you because it fits this perfectly. Dear Pastor Neary, you are greatly appreciated. I am amazed daily of the grace, mercy, and love of God. A little over 12 years ago, I was suicidal and thought I would die a prostitute. But God saved me and I've been born again. I believe I have a call on, He has a call on my life to help save others and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And because of people like you, I believe it will be possible. I pray God continues to bless you and protect you as you continue your journey, and I thank you and am grateful to you. That's what we should be doing. Reaching other people who are in crisis. People that if they walk through that door on Sabbath would not look like us, think like us, smell like us, act like us, dress like us, eat like us. Would we put our arms around them and say, we're glad you're here at paradise? Well, here's your opportunity. I want to introduce you to Ryan Johnson. How many of you know Ryan Johnson? I think more of you may know Ryan than... Ryan Johnson is a lay preacher and one of the elders of the Abundant Life Church. On May 11th, he's coming here to preach. And then in Vespers, May 11th, October 11th, October, the 11th month, October 11th, on 11-11, he is coming here to preach for church. October 11th is 11-11. Oh, 10-11. Okay. Well, in the Italian calendar, there's only 11, months. Your guys are all wrong. And then for Vespers in the evening, he's showing his movie that he produced, Silent Witness. And then he's coming back to do evangelism here at this church. On the 18th through the 24th, he starts his Sabbath services, he preaches, then that night he starts a series. The 19th, the 21st, the 23rd, no, I'm counting wrong. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 24. He's coming here, 7 straight nights. Here's your chance to bring your friends. Here's your chance to bring your neighbors. Here's your chance to bring your co-workers. Here's your chance to bring your family members who may not be believers. At least ask them to come. He's going to be here to preach, so we get to know him a week before he starts the meeting. We get to watch this production that he produced that was shown, Silent Witness, right here in our church. And then he starts the meetings on the 18th. And on that Saturday, the 25th, the Sabbath of the 25th, we all go over to Cashman, and after we hear a special speaker there, we have a special baptism in the same pool we baptize many of you. I want you to support these meetings, 7 of them. I want you to, of course, you'll be here on the 11th and hear this man preach. He loves the Lord. And he is incredible with multimedia abilities. And then he's doing the series for 7 straight nights. I hope that's 7, yes. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Because if you're building your ark, the social aspect of your ark is just as important as the spiritual, as the physical, and as the mental. And we've got to get to it, folks. Because Jesus waited 120 years for a group of people who were so wicked that he sent a flood to destroy everything. Father, I want to pray for each and every person here that they take seriously this challenge. If we could come together and invite our friends, our neighbors, our family members to this special event, we would be like Jesus. We would be like the pioneers of this church. We would extend ourselves and make efforts above and beyond the call of duty because we care more about the souls of others than our own comfort. Please forgive us for our past indiscretions, all of them, including me. And help us to overcome these things so we can see through your eyes and see that every single person, no matter what we may think about them, is important to you. So send your Spirit to convict us and guide us. And Lord, help us to find the very people that need this message and that want to come if they only knew about it. So you guide and direct now. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.